I'm going to ask you a question this morning. We walk by what? Okay, everybody said faith. That's a good answer. All right, good. I've heard some other things. I'm going to share with you today the word of the Lord. This is God's word, not mine. On we walk by, fill in the blank, and then we walk by several different things. So I'm going to rehearse these and review these with you today. Most of this, what I'm going to teach today, is stuff that you already know, things that you've already heard, but I think it's things that are good for us to be reminded of. And we're going to start in John. So if you have your Bible, turn to the Gospel of John, John 1 and verse 14. The first thing we're going to talk about walking by is walking by truth. We walk by truth. So if you have a sermon outline there, your sermon notes, fill in the blanks. That first outline blank is truth, John 1:14. And for those of you who don't know, Truth Tabernacle of Praise was founded on that principle. This is our founding scripture, and it says, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So that is the word from the Lord for Truth Tabernacle of Praise. That's our email list, our email address, John 1:14, because that is one of our founding scriptures. And the Word became flesh and dwelt, or literally tabernacled, among us. That's how we got our name, Truth Tabernacle. The Spirit of God and the Word of God has dwelt with us and among us. We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So under that truth, we have to proclaim God's word as truth and apply it to people's lives. So how do we do that? And why do we do that? Well, A, we believe the truth because most of the world doesn't. Leading researcher George Barna defines a biblical worldview as believing that absolute moral truth exists. The Bible is totally accurate in all of the principles it teaches. Satan is considered to be a real being or force, not merely symbolic. A person cannot earn their way into heaven by trying to be good or do good works. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life on earth, and God is the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the world who still rules the universe today. That is a biblical worldview. And leading researcher George Barna, he did a survey, and this is from 2008. But that survey conducted by the Barna Research Group revealed that only 9% of all American adults have a biblical worldview. Now, that was in 2008, and it's 2012. So what do you think it might be today? He hasn't done another one that defines that exactly that I could find. But in 2008, it was only 9% of adults in America had a biblical worldview. So 2012, it's probably even less than that. And even among born-again Christians in that survey, less than one out of every five, 19%, had such an outlook on life. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Also look at 3 John 1, 3-4. Flip over there almost to Revelation. 3 John 1. And let's look at verses 3-4. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So we walk by truth. We believe the truth because the world doesn't. And secondly, we teach the truth because many churches don't. Look at 2 Timothy 4:2. I told you this was last week. Like last week, it's almost like a Bible drill. So flip back forward to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:2. We have to teach the truth because many churches don't. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, the truth. Be ready in season and out of season. It says, preach the word, not opinion, what you believe, think, or what you think someone might want to hear, or what's comfortable for the speaker, most of this message today is Scripture, lots of Scripture, because what we do as a body of believers must be based on the truth, the Scripture, the Word of God, 1 Timothy 2:7, "For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am telling you the truth. I'm not lying. As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." So we have to believe the truth because the world doesn't, teach the truth because many churches don't, and see, apply the truth because most teachers don't. We have to apply this truth. Look at John 8:31. John 8:31. I'm hearing some pages flipping, but some of y'all are giving up on me already. Stay with me. John 8, 31. And when I get my glorified body, I can read this small print. John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Nothing but the truth is going to set you free. What has the result of applying truth been? And y'all know we have to apply truth because most teachers don't. I have heard lesson after lesson, sermon after sermon of Scripture, and that's good, but what do I do with that? How do I take that home with me? How do I apply that in my life the rest of that week? We have to apply the truth. And then the result of applying that truth has been D, speak the truth, because most people don't speak the truth. These are the things and some of the founding principles and core beliefs of Truth Tabernacle of Praise. The first word in our name is truth. This is why we exist, to truth. Speak the truth. This is an aspect of applying truth, is what we call around here being hot. And we have to make sure that we remind ourselves that's how we're supposed to be being with one another. Hot, that stands for honest, open, and transparent. Ephesians 4, look at Ephesians 4, this is key. Turn over to Ephesians, you need to mark this, so I'm going to wait till I hear more pages turning if you don't have this marked in your Bible already. Ephesians 4, 14. Why is this important? Ephesians 4, 14. If you've got that, say amen. "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in some things, all things, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head." Who's the head? Yes, him who is the head. That is Christ. So we're no longer to be infants tossed about by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine or teaching or cunning words, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. We must balance the hard sayings of truth also with God's grace. Thankfully, T-Top was built on that foundation and has a rich history of truth, grace, and exhibiting the unconditional love of God. Again, 3 John 1:4, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." I know of no greater testimony that could be said of us than that. If we want to honor the Lord, then continue to walk in truth as a church, an assembly of called out ones known as Truth Tabernacle of Praise. Not only must we continue to proclaim God's word as truth and apply it to people's lives, but we must also walk by faith. So the second thing we walk by, and this is pretty much everybody said, this is the first thing that comes to your mind, is we walk by faith. We walk by faith, people. We have to be willing to step out with a bold faith and take risk. Look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19, and some of us are living here right now. Matthew 19. We have some impossible situations in our lives. And some may say, when you lose a pastor in your church, you have an impossible situation in your church. But what does the Word say? Matthew 19, 26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible if we walk by faith. Many have religiosity, but not faith. Listen to what Charles Swindoll had to say about that. In vain I have searched the Bible looking for examples of early believers whose lives were marked by rigidity, predictability, inhibition, dullness, and caution. Fortunately, grim, frowning, joyless saints in Scripture are conspicuous by their absence. Instead, the examples I find are of adventurous, risk-taking, enthusiastic, and authentic believers whose joy was contagious even in times of full trial. Their vision was broad even when death drew near. Rules were few and changes were welcome. The contrast between then and now is staggering. Can I hear an amen on that? Truth Tabernacle of Praise exemplifies Hebrews 11:6, which says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God blesses those who trust him enough to follow his guidance, even when it seems impossible or it appears risky. So what are some examples of that? Examples. Moses. Commanded Pharaoh to release the Israelites, right? Not knowing what Pharaoh's reaction would be. Here's Pharaoh abusing the Israelites, and Moses is going to come up and say, what to Pharaoh? But he had faith. How about Elijah? Elijah called down fire from heaven, though he had never seen it done before. Noah and the ark. Can you imagine Noah in the ark? Noah had faith. Building a huge boat like the ark in the middle of, think of it. It's like building a boat in the middle of Atlanta. I mean, there's not even, what's that lake? Lake Lanier. I mean, at least he could have built it close to Lake Lanier, right? No, he built it in Midtown. That's what it was like for Noah and the ark, but he had faith. That God said, I'm going to send rain and I'm going to flood this and you need a boat. So he built a boat. How about Abraham? Abraham picked up and moved, not even knowing where he was going. Genesis 12:1. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. It makes no indication that he told him where he was going. He said, to the land I will show you. I'll show you when I need to show you. And the promise was this, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The parallel of that is in Acts 7:3, if you want the New Testament. Some people say, well, that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? They quoted it in the New Testament, Acts 7:3, and it said, leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. How many of you know God's going to show us exactly what we need to be shown? Martin Luther King said this, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. That is where we need to walk, all right, by faith. Truth Tabernacle of Praise has a rich history of walking by faith. A, back to your outline. T-Top has a rich history of walking by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, and this is the key verse for that. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We talked about that last week. We talked about how Truth Tabernacle was born. And I'm not going to replay that to you today. If you want to hear that, you can go online and hear that message again. It's called Four Pillars with Promise. And it's posted on the website. If you want to listen to that, that'll give you a good, quick history of Truth Tabernacle of Praise. But what all has God done in just the 7 years that we've been a church? And what has he done even more recently? Just think of some of those things. I can go on and on about that, but I don't have time to do that today. But just look around today and see what you see. I mean, even recently, brand new projectors. We have a sign out front. These are just the things you can touch, not the untouchable things. Untouchable things, we can't even begin to number that, but we can touch some of these things. God just refinanced this church to the savings of hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt forgiveness. God is in control. And we have a history of walking by faith, and we will continue to do that. How did this all start? With a vision that God birthed, which brings us to be, faith requires vision. Faith requires vision. Proverbs 29:18. What does that say? This is the famous vision verse. Every preacher in America says it probably every other month at least. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Jesus was the ultimate vision caster. Consider some of his visionary phrases. John 4:35. Lift up your eyes. The fields are white unto harvest. Matthew 17:20. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move this mountain. And Matthew 28:19, go ye into all the world and make disciples. He said all the world. That was in Matthew. That was before the automobile, MARTA, jet airplanes, iPhones, or the internet. And he said go into all the world. Now how were those 12 disciples going to go into all the world? That's something they could not even fathom, but he said to do that. That was vision. Jesus is the ultimate vision caster. But let's talk about our vision. What is the vision God has given us? Let's expand on that. So we have it now on the wall over here. So I'm just going to go over here and read. I'm going to try to not feedback on this microphone. But it says the mission is love God, love people. Who we are. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is a refuge where people can experience the truth of the gospel in an atmosphere of love, having their needs met without a critical, judgmental, or condemning spirit. And that sums up pretty much who we are. I'll say more about that in a minute. What is the vision? We envision a church full of humble, repentant people who continuously seek God's face in united prayer and worship. That's our part. Resulting, this is God's part, in a mighty move of the Holy Spirit, blowing like a violent wind from heaven, filling the entire church, whereby thousands accept the message, are baptized, and added to the church. That's the vision. Now, I know some of you, when we revamped that, got a little nervous, because you said, well, what about the original vision? Well, you know what? I was kind of thinking the same thing when we were going through that whole process. But as I read that, that's the same vision that was the original vision. It's just said a little different way. Because what is that? Resulting in a mighty move of the Holy Spirit blowing like a violent wind from heaven. We used to call that a burning bush. Anybody remember that? It's the same thing. It's the Holy Spirit doing his work. The vision has not changed. The vision is to reach our community right here at 5705 Memorial Drive, as well as the north, south, east, and west. And he is bringing people all over from the metro Atlanta area to here. That is who Truth Tabernacle of Praise is, who we are. And that's worth saying again. It's a refuge where people can experience the truth of the gospel in an atmosphere of love, having their needs met without a critical, judgmental, or condemning spirit. How many know you get that enough? And just, this is just a thought, but a critical spirit is not a fruit of the Spirit. All right? So just think about that. The fruit of the Spirit is, we'll talk about that in a minute, but a critical spirit is not on that list. So I'm just saying, you know how you say, I'm just saying. We asked some people around here to come up with how to describe Truth Tabernacle of Praise. This is when we were looking for a pastor the last time after Pastor Bobby left. And we asked some people, how will we tell somebody that we're talking to that we feel like might be God's man for us? How will we describe Truth Tabernacle of Praise? How do you describe us? And so these are some of the things they come up with. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read these. Here were some of the key words and phrases. The forgotten. Focus on the forgotten. A balance of spirit and truth. Minister to one another. A place of refuge. Love for one another. Prayer and intercession. Love God, love people. God ordained diversity. Celebrating in worship. A sacrificial spirit. Unbound by tradition. Hot. Honest, open, and transparent. Believe in the Holy Trinity. Live our faith daily. Servant-based. Loves the community. Fully dependent on God. Have an expectation of revival. Walk of faith in love. Jesus still heals. Love to serve. A safe place of refuge, restoration, and reconciliation. Okay, then some of the overachievers gave me a paragraph. All right? Y'all know there's always some in the crowd, right? So they said, a diverse congregation of believers fully dependent on the Lord who worship and celebrate the one true God in spirit and in truth. Here, believers love God and love people. Our church is a safe place of refuge, restoration, and reconciliation for every member of our community. As a church family, we minister to one another in a servant-based, sacrificial manner, living out our faith in love. And I could go on with that. I've got more and more that I could say about that, but I think that's enough. And some people wonder why you wear jeans. I'll tell you why we wear jeans around here. Why I try to wear jeans almost every Sunday. Because some people can't afford a nice $300 three-piece suit. And some people can't get dressed up like some people. And we want this to be a place where everybody feels welcome and everybody feels like they can be accepted. And this is a safe place to come with all your stuff. Because how many people know we all have stuff? We all have stuff. If somebody's not looking at raising their hand around you, look at them and say, you got stuff. All right, you got stuff. The person that don't think they have stuff, they probably got more than you. I'm just saying. Because there's nobody. I looked over the church roll and I searched, but I did not see a one perfect person on there. This is not a perfect church for perfect people. This is a safe place for broken people to bring all their stuff with them. Don't leave it at the door, please. Bring your stuff in with you because we need to let you know that God loves you, and regardless of what your stuff is, this is the place where God loves you and you can be ministered to. That's the vision. That's the vision that was started in May 2005, and that's still the vision today. And as God can help us, I pray that's always the vision. So faith requires vision. But not only is he bringing people here from the north, south, east, and the west, but he's also sending people out from here. God has blessed our assembly of called out ones by calling out some of our best. How about T and J? I can't say their names because they're in a secret, secure location where it's very difficult and they could be persecuted if they found out they were Christians. T and J in Africa, God has called them out. Pat and Paige Combs to Tanzania. Pastor Bobby, our founding pastor, to Texas. He called out Pastor Daryl and Mary to start Reach Out Center. And now he's called Pastor Martin and his family to Long Island, New York. Sending is never a pleasant process, but is part of our privilege and responsibility of God's great commission. These all go or have been sent as an extension of this ministry of Truth Tabernacle of Praise. When you have vision, it affects your attitude. Your attitude is optimistic rather than pessimistic. Not only does faith require vision, but it also requires courage. See, faith requires courage. And what's the word courage? Remember that? Hebrew, hazak. Moses said in Deuteronomy 31:6-8, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be there with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. When God birthed this church, many things were said that could have caused us to lose courage. Just like today, there are some things that could be said that we had to lose courage. This is not on your outline, but you might want to write it in the margin, just as a way that you can have courage. We have to have courage to disregard the naysayers. Many of you were around in those early days and heard the naysayers whispering and murmuring. And let me just say something about whispering and murmuring. That's also not a fruit of the Spirit. And murmuring, whispering, it sounds like this. Murmuring. And you usually can tell when somebody's doing that because they're doing it, and then when you walk beside them, it gets quiet. I'm just saying. That's whispering and murmuring. But that's what was happening to us. People were whispering and murmuring about us. They'll never make it. That church will never amount to anything. They're just following a man. Now is the time to take courage, church, and disregard the naysayers once again and prove that we aren't following men, but are following hard after the heart of God and God's heart for this community, this city, our nation, and the whole world. H.A. Ironside said this, Faith is to rest, not in the best of God's servants, but in his unchanging word. Take courage, disregard the naysayers, and remember not to be discouraged by the spirit of fear. That's number two, not on your outline, but it'd go under faith requires courage. Courage to disregard the naysayers, and courage to not be discouraged by the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, turn over there. This is too good to not mark in your Bible. This is something you can take with you the rest of the week as we apply the truth of God's word today. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. If you're there, say amen. You may want to mark this. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. What does the King James Version say? It just reads a lot better. If you were like me and you grew up with it since you were cutting your teeth, it goes like this. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You cannot live by sight and by faith. Neither can you live by fear and by faith. It either has to be by faith or by fear, by faith or by sight. Which way are you living? Faith takes out the anxiety. It takes out the fear. Faith leans heavy on the Lord. It knows that the Bible is truth and can be trusted, and that we can live by it, and all our needs will be supplied. So don't live with a spirit of fear. Live by faith. That faith requires courage. And then also under courage, we cannot be discouraged by or take on a spirit of inferiority. Especially now, there is a great temptation to have a spirit of inferiority. Look at Revelation 3. Revelation 3, verse 7 and 8. Revelation 3, 7 and 8. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. That's praise. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word. That's the truth, and have not denied my name. Church, that's a word for you today. Do not take on the spirit of inferiority as we're in this transition, as we're in the interim. Now more than ever, we must pray and guard against the spirit of inferiority that will try to influence us going forward. This was the spirit that attached itself to the church in Philadelphia, and the Lord told them he knew they had only a little strength. But the Lord told them, in spite of their little strength, he was the God who opened doors that no man can open, and he was the God who closed doors that no man could shut. I believe the Lord is opening a door of opportunity for Truth Tabernacle of Praise for such a time as this, and the only question that remains unanswered is whether Truth Tabernacle of Praise will walk through that door that the Lord is about to open. Here's what T.D. Jakes said. Come hell or high water, you will never take me back to the place I was before. I've been through too much to let life whoop me again. My faith is stronger than it's ever been. My mind is more tenacious than it's ever been. And my soul is more absolute. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. We must seek him. And it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he comes to God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Let's seek him with all our heart. As we walk by faith, there are some results that we can expect. So what are those results of walking by faith? We're now back to the outline. Results of walking by faith, D. And now I'm off the outline again, but it generates enthusiasm. I couldn't give you every point I had because it'd take 3 pages. So I'm trying to go fast, but results of walking by faith is, number one, it generates enthusiasm. We have many reasons to be enthusiastic today. Just start, like I said before, by remembering where we've come from and everything God has done. As I just revisited our church's short 7-year history of walking by faith, let's ask God to do even more right here, right now. In the study Experiencing God, which many of you have been through, Henry Blackaby challenges his readers to attempt things so great that they are doomed to failure unless God intervenes. And Pastor Jim Cimbala of the Brooklyn Tabernacle says in this, the book, The Church God Blesses, it encourages us to ask the Lord to stretch out his hand and do what only he can do in our midst. That's what we've got to do. Billy Sunday said, we have a God who delights in impossibilities. Let's ask God to do it. The things that seem impossible to us that only he can do, that will, secondly, stimulate prayer among God's people. The shortest distance between a problem and a solution is the distance between your knees and the floor. That's one of the reasons I had us get on our knees today, because I had to ask myself, when's the last time we did that in a public worship service? We need to stay on our knees and be stimulated to prayer. Matthew 17:20, and I said this earlier, truly I say to you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. I want to ask you to pray for something this morning, something just to add to your prayer list, something that could very well generate enthusiasm, I think, if this happened. But this is something that only God can do, and only God can do this. And that is to pay off the rest of our debt. Now, I know what you're saying. Pastor David, are you crazy? We don't have a pastor. You told last week people wanted to join the church when we don't have a pastor. 2 did, by the way. And now you want us to pray that God will pay off our debt? Let me tell you, he can do that. There's an offering, there's a place on your offering envelope, and I just want you to pray about this. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not going to insist that you do this. Obviously, I can't make you give. Only God can do that. But this, I think that giving works best when it works the way it worked in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament way was when they were collecting for the temple, this is what they said when they were collecting that offering. They said, everyone whose heart God stirs. It wasn't by coercion. It wasn't a mandatory. It wasn't everybody had to do it. It's everyone whose heart God stirred. So just pray, and if God stirs your heart to give $10, there's a line on there that says building fund. Since we already have the building, that'll just go straight to the debt retirement. So if God lays that on your heart, just put that there. And you pay $10. Y'all know how a mortgage works, right? If you've got one. Even if you're paying your monthly payment, if you pay $10 or $25 or $100 extra a month, that goes straight to the principal, that makes it all go down. So that's what I'm saying. God can do that. And that would be, to us, that'd be impossible. But would it be cool if God paid that off because we asked him to stir up our hearts and do that even when we didn't have a pastor? Hello. So pray about that. And that's all I'm going to say. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more in novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men of mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men of prayer. Men of prayer. It was E.M. Bounds that said that. So not only will our prayer life be stimulated, our enthusiasm will be generated, but sacrifice. It motivates sacrifice. The results of walking by faith, it generates enthusiasm, stimulates prayer, and motivates sacrifice. You people are some of the most giving people I have ever known in any church I've ever been in. So I'm not even going to talk about that at this point. I'm not talking about giving, tithing, any of that stuff. Just keep on doing what you're doing, and we will do as we was always done, leave it all up to God. He has proven himself to us time and time again. As we sacrifice, pray, and get enthusiastic about what God has done, is doing, and is going to do, I guarantee you that's a recipe that produces harmony. Number four, and maybe we can talk more about what harmony looks like soon. But for now, here's what I see. Turn over to Acts 9:31, and this was the launching scripture. This is the focus scripture for this whole message. And some of you are going, you didn't do it at the beginning because I was saving it till now. But this is it, Acts 9:31. Man, I wish I had my glorified body. Either that or a large print Bible. Right? Acts 9:31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Read that again. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. And I know some of you are saying, well, Pastor David, that's real nice, but that's Acts, and they had all that Holy Spirit thing going on and all that. But let's look at the context of this verse right here. What was the context of this verse? This was just right, if you read above that, this is right after Paul had stayed with them in verses 28, 29. Look at that. And moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He walked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews. Those are Jews that had adopted the Greek language and culture. But they tried to kill him. They tried to kill Paul. And when the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So they had just sent Paul off. But it says, they enjoyed peace, being built up, and going on in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. This is after they just sent Paul off. It reminds me of an old song we used to sing back in the day. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, we We can't turn back. We've come this far by faith. Now is the time to be strong and very courageous. Remember the word for strong, hazak, means to get a grip. And the word for courage, amatz, means don't let go of it. People of God, don't let go of it now. Let's walk forward together by faith. So not only are we going to walk by the truth and by faith, but we're also, number three, we're going to walk by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. In the NIV it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The New American Standard said, walk by the Spirit. King James Version said, walk in the Spirit. I like all three of those. Do it all right? Keep in step with the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 and also John 4:24. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. How about this whole deal with spirit and truth? That's another one of the core foundational concepts of Truth Tabernacle of Praise. And y'all are like me. You've been to churches like I have. Some people have spirit, all right, and they got a lot of it. But then when it comes to the word or the truth, it's very shallow. I'm just going to put it out there blunt. I'll be hot, honest, open, and transparent. Some churches have a lot of spirit and not a lot of truth. And y'all, I've been to churches too that have a lot of truth, but no spirit. The worship that God wants, according to John 4:24, and this was a whole passage on worship, that don't let a worship leader preach that, so I'm not going to today. We might be here till tomorrow. But it said in John 4:24, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. That is a mark of Truth Tabernacle of Praise. As God is our help, we will always have worship that is in spirit, and I pray full of the Holy Spirit, and also full of truth, the truth of God's word, and going deep in God's word to learn what he has to tell us there. Many churches have one or the other, but few have a balance of the two. We must stay committed to a strong spirit and truth ministry. So what is the spirit? We've talked about truth, but let's talk about the spirit now. Pneuma is that word, the Greek word for spirit. A current of air, that is a breath, a blast, a breeze, a violent wind. That is the spirit. That's what the spirit is. So we must walk by the Spirit. So what does that mean? What does that look like? It means that we must be a Spirit-led. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Look above that a little bit. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. How about the New Living Translation? This was so good, you got to hear this. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free, and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. And the message even takes it a little bit further. It says, Christ has set us free to live a free life, so take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Galatians 5:1, that'd be a good scripture to memorize. 2 Corinthians 3:17 is also a good one. That's not on your outline, so you may want to write that down. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we must be Spirit-led, A. We must also be Spirit-driven, B. John 3:8, the wind, there's that word again, pneuma, blows wherever it pleases. Wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. We must be Spirit-driven. Now, there's churches that are purpose-driven. There's churches that are program driven. There's churches that are budget driven. There's churches that are seeker driven or seeker friendly, but we've got to be spirit driven. There's even churches that are pastor driven. All right. Uh-oh, now we start meddling now. There's even some churches that are deacon driven. All right. How about there's even churches that are elder driven. But you know what? The most important thing is to be spirit driven. We must be led by and driven by the Spirit. And the Spirit, the wind, that's the same Greek word, pneuma, wind, spirit. The Spirit blows wherever it pleases. So we have to be Spirit-led, we have to be Spirit-driven, but we also must be Spirit-controlled. Hold on, I'm coming in for the landing. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, here they are, if you were looking for them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. The church that is man-managed instead of God-governed is doomed to failure. A ministry that is college-trained but not Spirit-filled works no miracles. That was Samuel Chadwick who said that. So we must be Spirit-controlled, Spirit-led, Spirit-driven, Spirit-controlled, and Spirit-empowered. 2 Timothy 1:7, again, for the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Romans 15, 13 through 14, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, the minister to the Gentiles, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Read that again, because I said that too quick. Verse 14, Romans 15, 14. I am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Spirit empowered. Jim Cimbala, our great pastor friend at Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York, wrote this in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. The key is not money, organization, cleverness, or education. Are you and I seeing the results Peter saw? Are we bringing thousands of men and women to Christ the way he did? If not, we need to get back to his power source, Spirit empowered. How little chance the Holy Ghost has nowadays. The churches and missionary societies have so bound him in red tape that they practically ask him to sit in the corner while they do the work themselves. So not only must we be Spirit-empowered, Spirit-led, Spirit-driven, Spirit-controlled, and Spirit-empowered, but also, and this is the last one, and all God's people said, Spirit-filled, Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Spirit-filled, Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be Spirit-filled, church family. In Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The church is the body of Christ, and the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. He fills the body, directs its movements, controls its members, inspires its wisdom, supplies its strengths. He guides into truth, sanctifies its agents, and empowers for witnessing. The Spirit has never abdicated his authority nor relegated his power. We must be Spirit-filled. How many of you know Acts 7, 48 through 51 is still true? The Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? What kind of house could you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Let's not resist the Holy Spirit. Let's be Spirit-filled. Let's be Spirit-led. Let's be Spirit-driven, Spirit-controlled, Spirit-empowered, and Spirit-filled. So we walk by what today, church? Truth, faith, and the Spirit. We walk by truth. We believe the truth because the world doesn't. We teach the truth because many churches don't. We apply the truth because many teachers don't. And we speak the truth because most people don't. We walk by faith, and we have a history of walking by faith. But faith requires vision. It also requires courage. And there are certain results that we can expect when we're walking by faith. But we're also going to walk by the Spirit. We're going to be Spirit-led, Spirit-driven, Spirit-controlled, Spirit-empowered, and Spirit-filled.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.